Welcome, everybody. My name is Dave, and I want to, today to talk to you about synthesizers, sequencers on a very simple schematic. Well, they're based on that. Oh, it's there too. Okay. Yeah, danke. Should turn on Wi-Fi first. There we go. So, CD note video note movie. So that should do the trick with that. And it does. Woohoo! So, fun fact about the matrix, I was actually too lazy to make any fonts for it and generate the text on the matrix in Python. What I was able to do with the matrix at first was sending UDP packages based on videos. So we started to download a counter from YouTube first, the 50-minute counter, and then just play that on the matrix. But this is actually an FFmpeg filter now, and Danimo generated this wonderful animation. It's pretty neat. All right, I've already wasted a minute and jumping seconds. Anyway, so. oscillators. So I might just present this little box first so you get an idea of what I'm talking. Okay, this is a bit. So I made this little sequencer synthesizer. Okay. And oh yeah, it can get very annoying. And it can also go backwards. This is kind of broken on this machine. And it can switch between counting to 8 and counting to 10. And this one doesn't do that because the cable broke off. Anyway, I can demonstrate it on another thing that I made. It's the second iteration of this. Here's the cable. Turn on. Right. So let's go forward and use. That's forwards, backwards. Right. And here you can see the 1 and 2 get repeated. There's an off switch. Should have added an off switch. Yeah. So this is all based on 4 chips, essentially. And I could actually control them here. I haven't really practiced anything, but yeah. This is the latest version of it, and I kind of like to label all the parts that I'm adding to the board. And you can see the left one is the LED controller. It's a 4028. The 4029 is the binary counter, and then we have a 4051. That's an analog muxer, and the 14106. That's an Hex-Schmidt trigger, and I'm gonna tell you about that a bit in a second. But yeah, that's basically the ticking thing, or make a tick. So I've prepared something here. No, that's the other breadboard. So the 4010-6, how do I set it up? First we need power, and I think that was already it. It's an inverter. So when the input is positive, this LED is off, and when it's negative, it stays on. So with that, I'm charging a capacitor. And when the capacitor is charged, the input level then is set to positive and the output of it is negative. And when that happens, the capacitor is discharging again and you get an oscillation. And how that sounds, how did I do that? That's the negative side. It should go in here. It's make and tell, so I'm making and telling you. Yeah, when you add a resistor, the capacitor charges and discharges depending on that value. So yeah, it takes longer for it to charge or discharge, and if the resistor is smaller, then it's a higher frequency. This is a potentiometer. You can also add something else. I hope I brought it. That makes, that turns this thing into a theremin, if I do it right. So. And it's all just based on the resistance of the photoresistor. All right.
I want
to hear good news. Huh? Not sure if I... Whoa, I dropped it. Well, I shouldn't accept requested songs, right? I'm not that kind of a DJ. Should watch Picard. Woo! So, this is kind of the part that I practiced for this and put everything together. Right, I hope it stays on a bit. There we go. When you take a very, very big capacitor, the frequency gets very low, and you can actually use that as a clock input. And that clock input you can feed into the binary counter, the 4029. And it was kind of a lucky accident when I was putting something like this together. It was based on a tutorial on Hackaday. That was, I think Elliot Williams did that. And he used the 4040 or something. That's just counting up in binary. And yeah, I couldn't find it in the drawer of my dad. He had a lot of parts, but he didn't have these. So I found out that the 4029 exists and actually is able to go forwards and backwards, depending on the switches. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So you get something more to play with. Otherwise, this box gets annoying very fast. This way, it's just 15 minutes. And yeah. The analog muxer is quite interesting. You've seen that the resistor here is setting the frequency, but if you want to switch between all these resistors to get another frequency very fast, you need something like the 4051. That's getting binary input from the 4029. It's like four pins that toggle between 0 and 1, and you get up to 16 steps. So the 4051 can switch between 8 inputs and sends that out to one output. So this is how I get, what I got with Cynthia. Right. And the last chip is, of course, the frequency thing. And I only used one timer for setting the frequency of the switching, like the steps, basically. And the other one is for the frequency changed by the potentiometers. And with a bit of thinking, I'm now at a point where I can use this board and another one and two extra chips and can make a 16-step sequencer out of it. So even with those little four chips, I can get a wide range of interesting sounds, and this is what I basically wanted to share. And yeah. So.
Yeah. Because it's not a real
counter,
it's a video, so we can't move it forward.
Well, we can also.
You have five more times in the middle.
Well, since I basically blanked out and we have 5 minutes, we can also like put in some questions if anyone has a question. Yes?
I'm sorry, this is a really maybe a naive question, but the oscillators that I heard, it reminds me a lot of MIDI files.
Okay.
I just wondered, is there any kind of explanation there in terms of the use of oscillators in the MIDI format, or is it just shared property of the different kinds of sounds?
It's probably the shared property that it's a digital generated sound, or it's not really digital, but this one is a sawtooth. No, it's not a sawtooth.
Square wave.
Yeah, just.
Square wave.
Someone said the right one. Like yeah, square wave. Right. So it's very edgy, and this makes a, sometimes 8-bit sound, depending on what filters you maybe use. And so, yeah, there's a relation to that. Yeah. Right. So yeah, anyone else? Something?
When do you use the decimal versus octal output? What makes you choose to have 10 beats in music? It seems like a weird number for music.
Yeah. So you might be able to get something out of it that's 5 by 4. But also when you play it a bit faster, it just gets a bit off rhythm-ish. So maybe I can turn it on again. Need a high pass, low pass filter, so the high frequencies don't get out there. So this is the 10th step. So this is 10 steps, but it has a very rhythmic feeling to it, so. So this also sounds like the music when the computer in war games is calculating something. A friend of mine made this like a sequence earlier, and I was like, hey, wait, that sounds exactly like this one, yeah. Well, yeah. So, yeah.
So since you're doing a lot of edges as well.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So Yeah, well, the first point that would make it a bit unpractical is having all the knobs here.
So, there
right, so but then you're standing there and trying to tweak something that's very small. So sure, it would be possible, but also I think people that want to play with this also like to solder with DIP stuff, like DIP chips, the very big ones, and not the S&D parts. So yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah. Feel free. Right. Hello.
Hi.
Oh. Look, it turned red. Woohoo! All right. Yeah, thanks.